How you guys doing today? Everybody good? All right. I'm a fish out of water, man. Okay. Well, let me start by saying a simple note. Happy 4th. I'm a huge patriot, just for the record. Love my country. It's not a political statement. Everybody good? We live in the greatest country on the planet, man. We have a lot of freedoms, more freedoms than any other country on the planet, period. And we have the right to worship and even preach the gospel without being concerned of our head getting cut off. That's a true statement. So happy birthday to our country, 250 years old. That's pretty cool. You know, that makes us just an adolescent, right? Compared to most countries. We're just a kid. I think we're doing pretty good, though. So awesome. Okay, how many have been thinking, I know that's unusual stuff coming from me to even talk about that stuff, but I think it's kind of cool that we're 250 years old. How many has been thinking about last couple of weeks, specific to last week? We really tried to simplify the thought of the feast days by bringing them into Jesus. Everything you're being taught is imparting those things into you. We said it last week, we're going to say it again. You do not have to go back and read Leviticus 25. Now, if the Lord led you, perfect. But it's tedious. People say, man, I just skipped the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is God's thought in how he deals with clean and unclean. It's full of that. This is clean, this is unclean. Right, Keith? Clean, unclean, clean, unclean, clean, unclean. God is meticulous. It's amazing, actually. But you don't have to go back and read Leviticus 25 and feel like you have this burden of a homework assignment where you go, oh my God, I got to go back now and learn all the feast. No, it's Jesus. Jesus is every one of them. He has brought our church through many of them. Okay? Leave a little something there for that which is to come in the revelation of Jesus. There are those among us, as we stated last week, that have come to certain many of them in those feasts, could have come to all of them in actuality. And we're thankful for that. We begin to build upon that with the simplistic thought of the body. What God's doing, if you look back over the last many months, even the last few years, what's God been building? You've heard it from me, you've heard it from Daniel, you've heard it from Keith. In this church, the Chicago church specifically, has God not been building a church? Is it an Old Testament church? I don't specifically want to divide it, old, new. Don't forget about the Old Testament, you know, burn it up, it doesn't matter anymore. No, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. The old was absorbed into the new. Jesus made it new. Does that make sense? But I am making a clear statement here that something happened in the new that didn't happen in the old. What was that? Jesus. Was he in the old? Yes. Not specific by name, not by the name Jesus. It's not listed, is it? But he was there, wasn't he? How do we know he was there? Isaiah, for one, prophesied about him. A son shall be born, a child. The government of God shall rest upon his shoulder. So he was there in the entirety of it all. What if I told you he was the one walking with Adam in the cool of the day? You say, but it doesn't say that. Jesus is the embodiment of the eternal spirit. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's very possible that when Adam was walking in the cool of the day, that the voice he was speaking with was in his consciousness. Is that possible? Do any of you talk to God? Did any of you talk to God this week? No hands? Nobody talked to God? Oh, woe is me. God wants to talk to us. So we have a lot of ground to cover. And we're trying to keep it as simple as we can. Here's the beauty of it all. Everything that God has done, He has done in the person of Jesus Christ. Unbeknownst to you, you may not be able to go back into the Old Testament and identify where we call it Jesus, the embodiment of God, because that was made known when the angel Gabriel prophesied and said the prophecy of Isaiah to Mary, and he was born. The moment he was born, now we've got an image, now we've got a body. I get it was terrestrial, but interestingly enough, at some point during his tenure with those disciples, later in his ministry, he was transfigured and called up. And who met with him? Moses and Elijah. Right? Did he have a body? Did the origin of that body take place right then and there in that transfiguration, or did that body exist before? Come on, don't be afraid to answer. We got to talk about the body for a minute. Actually, for a few minutes. Good to have our dad here, huh? Never know, might be the last preach he ever hears. Never know. We'll make sure he's ready to go. We've already put him in God. So we're glad to have him. So did it exist before? Or did the origin of the body begin when Mary gave birth to him, Naomi? Which one is it? Before? You guys agree? Who did Daniel see? Was it Daniel 7? Who did he see? One like unto the Son of Man, the Ancient of Days. Who was that, Keith? Was that Jesus? Come on, guys. Was that Jesus? He had not yet been revealed to those in the earth as Jesus. Remember what Gabriel said. His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. How long has God been with us? How long? A long time. Who said that? There you go. More than we know, right? You could take billions upon billions upon trillions upon eons of time and never come to the beginning of God. God's been around a long time. How long has Jesus been with God? How do we know that, Dave? Love it. Keep going. Come on. So we're dealing with word. We're dealing with an eternal word. Does that make sense now? Jesus has always been. He is the Word of God. But isn't it interesting that in the beginning was that Word? The Word was with God, but that Word became God. It was God. But in the Scriptures, when Jesus was just a boy, it says he grew in wisdom and stature. When you go back to Ephesians 3, which we're going to continue in this morning, and you look at where I ended concerning the fullness, the height, the breadth, the width, the increase. We gave examples, the tent of meeting, 10 by 10 by 10, the Temple of Solomon, 20 by 20 by 20. We come to the New Jerusalem, which is 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. It becomes a cosmic explosion of increase, meaning what? Jesus, the fullness, the full embodiment of the great eternal spirit, is continually becoming. He's being enlarged. How so? By us. By us. So as the Church of God in Chicago continues to grow, as the pastors of this church continue to grow, who is enlarged?
Jesus.
And we're enlarged in him. We become in him. Do I need to break it down a little further? How many of you are further along now, today, than you were 10 years ago? So you mean you've had some becoming? Dave, you got both hands up. Dave's got all his bases covered. He's got the flag on his shirt, him and Mike. And he's got the Word of God in his heart. That's good stuff. So the Word of God is causing you to constantly become more wisdom, more understanding, greater knowledge in the things of the holy. You're being increased for what purpose? For his kingdom, for his eternal purpose. Your predestination is in him. So Jesus is key. You say, well, I thought we were in the apostolic age. You wouldn't have an apostolic age without Jesus. The apostles are his extension. They're the continuation of the embodiment. Oh, I just said something there. Did I just call them boys Christ? Did I just call apostles Christ? So, did they themselves have bodies? Let's read something here in Ephesians. You guys remember we talked about the love of Christ around verse 19 of chapter 3, Ephesians 3, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the intent and will of God, by the way, is that you will be full of the knowledge of God. How does the knowledge of God infill you? What is a necessity? What must you come to know the fullness of God? Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is an eternal one. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not saying that I need you to go back and listen to this. I'm not even telling you to. I'm not telling you to go chase after it. I'm just referencing something here. James and I were talking this morning. We were talking about lifetimes. We were talking about the revelation of Jesus, that which was, is, and is to come. We were talking about what if in this lifetime, Megan, you've been called to attain to certain things in God. What if, God forbid, I hope you live for a very long time according to the will of God. But what if you were to only have a few short years among us and you did not attain unto the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ? What then? Did God fail? Did God fail? Is God stuck? Don, if you don't come into everything that Dan has come into, that Rick came into, that your husband is coming to, what then? What can God put those pieces back together? What say you?
Yes.
Can you guys handle this? You sure? I think you can. You've had some good teaching around here, so I think you can handle it. What if I told you that's why you're here right now? God already started this at another time, and it wasn't finished. And he picked right back up, Megan, where he left off. And you've been remembering some things that God already told you previously. God ain't gonna fail none of this. Was that me? Questions. You say, you teach in reincarnation? Nope. That's not what we're teaching. But I am saying you have been here before. I'm saying your soul has been here before. I'm saying that in this lifetime, some of you may have just begun to hear about the story of God. What if in this life, God just dropped his story into you? Awesome. That's an awesome answer. Because it is awesome. And it would be awesome. Because you just become part of the family. You say, I'm trying to wrap my mind. Stop trying to wrap your mind around it. Your carnal mind, your physical mind, and there's a difference there, but your mind is not going to understand the infinite wisdom of God. What is the thing that's going to teach you? Oh, we're getting somewhere. His word. Remember what we said? Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So who has the life? Jesus does. And he said in Revelation 1, I was dead, but I'm alive now forevermore. My God, man. We serve an eternal God. You say, but I want you to go back into those feast days and run that by me one more time. Why? So your carnal mind can get stuck in a loop. And you can go home and try to figure it out and do some homework until you think you know every single detail. That's been your problem. Instead of letting the word of God come in and quicken you, provoke you, let that word that's been sown to you get quickened and brought into a resurrection. That's all you need. Are you hearing me? He says, now to him, listen to this, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Sometimes it's a prayer problem. We're praying the wrong prayer. We're praying to have it consumed upon our own lust. I'm going to tell you right now, I've already said it. I know Dan gets a little uncomfortable with me sometimes saying these things, but you got one of the best teachers you could have ever asked for. You got one of the best pastors, and he teaches and teaches and teaches and teaches. And my God, I'm sitting here. You might think this chair's anointed, isn't it? I don't know. It might be. Because there's been so many visions that take place while sitting here. Because of the teaching, Steve, it'll take you right into the spirit, bro. It's not knowledge. It's not carnal wisdom. It's not the strength of man. It's the quickening and resurrection power of God's holy word. It'll take you right into exactly what's being preached. I'll tell you how real it is. It'll even take you into the apostle that's preaching it. It'll even take you into the angel that's preaching it. You can even go into him, into his temple. You say, I don't know. I don't know. God hasn't done that for me. How do you know he hasn't tried? But you're over there, Bible verse, where's the Bible verse? I got to put it together. Wait, he's not even preaching out of the right Bible version. It can't even be God. Oh, I know. We're getting there. We're getting right to where you live. You cannot, you will not be a Bible scholar in the kingdom of God and tell God how you have figured all this out, especially when God has hid this for ages in mysteries. Do I have to quote Revelation 5 on who was found to open up the seals of the book? That wasn't John, Dave. John didn't open the seals, bro. Who did? Jesus did. The Lamb that was slain. He was found worthy. One of the biggest problems we've got is we think we are going to find out the ways of God. No, Jesus comes by and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must follow me. And our ego says, no, I'm going to stick with what I know God told me 30 years ago. Well, where did that get you? But I had a dream. Well, the devil can give you dreams. The man of sin can give you dreams. The man of sin can quicken you and imitate God. You say, oh my goodness, man, what do I believe now? Believe us. Believe what we're preaching you. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, we've been to hell and back. We've been tried. We've been tested. We've been cleansed. We've been purged. Every ounce of ego, God goes after it in these elders. Wherever they're at in specific aspects of prophecy and the revelation of Jesus Christ, I promise you, there has been phenomenal purgings among us. We've gone through aspects of the feast days. That's not to say that we've attained to all of them or even the fullness of each one. You could say, well, I've seen the death of Christ in the terrestrial realm, but did you see it from the beginning? When it was in God's imagination alone. You say, well, I've seen the resurrection when he came out of the tomb. But did you see the resurrection in God's imagination in the eternal glories? Because that's a much greater resurrection than that of the terrestrial. You got to understand that God imagined all of this. What if I even told you, Don, he imagined you, even in this body right here? What if I told you that Keith, God knew Keith Hickey in the eventuality of time, that the word Keith is in that beginning, an apostle with us, with the us, in the beginning. We were there together, bro. You, Daniel, Rick, all of us, we were there, bro, together, sons of God. But God's so mighty and so amazing that God even knew one day that word that you are would exist in an avatar named Keith Hickey. He knew that about you, bro. He knew that. That's what I call divine providence. You think it's a coincidence that he brought seven men of God together in one lifetime? Do you know what it takes to pull that off? God had to make sure that I went to work for DirecTV so I could meet this one. That was kind of a joke, but nonetheless. Everybody thought I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. See, Paula, you have no idea what God did for you. I tell my wife that all the time. God sent me to save you, girl. I don't know what you've been missing. Hey, man, we got to have some fun. Marriage is, you know, it's a tedious thing sometimes, right, Dave?
It's like the other way around.
The other way around, huh? Dave's the problem. I have to lighten things up a minute because I can see everybody's eyeballs glossing over. All right, let's get back to the reading here. He said, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So wait a minute. Mike, if the word of God's in you, then the power of God is in you. The power of God is in your spirit. Don't tell me you can't overcome a devil. The power of God is in you. The truth of God is in you. You know what the problem is with that? Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think you can learn surrounded by devils, surrounded by enemies? Can you learn the things that Dan's teaching you? Can you learn them if you're surrounded by enemies? Come on, talk to me. Hold on, one at a time.
Understand God's word, but God delights things to show you.
If you're staying on God, stay focused and let God divide the things he's teaching you from those that are not of God, you'd be good, right? That was your answer in a nutshell.
Coming into understanding.
Ah, so now we're talking discerning the spirits. That's interesting. It's a good answer. Who else?
I said stay at the table.
Stay at the table, okay? So if you stay at the table, you guys remember, I did this on purpose. What if I told you that was a feast day? What if I told you that was the beginning in my spirit, that was the beginning, Amanda, of the marriage supper of the Lamb? I just didn't know it at that time. Because that table, Kelly, goes from the earth where there's only light at that table, and everything else around me was sheer darkness, and I saw thousands of eyes peering at me from the darkness. All those enemies. Remember this testimony? I didn't realize that that table continues to get elevated. It goes up from earth to greater things. And before you know it, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're being made partaker of the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is awesome. You tell me, is that awesome or not?
Yes.
What if I told you that to get us to these different feast days, that's some of what God's been doing here among our church? He created a table. It's been preached different ways. And when it gets preached different ways by different men, different avatars, and I'm not leaving you ladies out, but I am waiting on some of our women to rise up as preachers. No bones about it. I'm waiting for it. One of the things Rick told me is like, you hold on to that right there. I want to see our women rise up. That was one of the things. It was a commandment. You stay whole. You stay a hold of that. And you preach that. And you promote that. And you prophesy that. Because we're going to see it. What'd he tell you? In this lifetime, you would speak. Does that have to be another 20, 30 years? Because you have to outlive me. That's the bargain, right? I get to go before you. That's the deal. No, that's our deal. I didn't say God signed off on it. I just said that's our deal. I don't want to be here by myself. That sounds really selfish, doesn't it? But, you know, her grandmother lived to 98 years old, and my dad, he ain't going to live to 98. I don't want to live to 98 unless God said, no, I need it. I'm good. We can move on, man. I'm not going anywhere right now, God forbid. Hopefully no bus hits me on the way home. But anyway, I don't think that's going to happen. You say, you're making too light of this life. No, I'm telling you the real focus in my heart is eternity. This life is a speck to me now. That's what this life is. Do you know when we come from heavenly realms, we got to go into that piece of sand sometimes, and it opens up a whole world, and we got to do what God sent us to do in that point of time. That's why we spend such diligent, fervent time with so many of you, specific to those that come after us, okay? But in one respect, that word of God was intended to come to pass. You, Naomi, I know Naomi, she's like, nope, I told Dan I'm never preaching. But that's not the word of God on the matter. I'm just telling you, it's not the word of God. That was just something that existed in Naomi at that time for a whole lot of reasons. But has God been changing that? It's becoming now, isn't it? One day you're going to want to, and I mean really want to. And you're going to go to Dan and say, hey, I want Sunday morning. I may only go 2 minutes, but I want it. I want 5 minutes. Then it'll be 10 minutes. Or you guys will tag team. Whatever the case. Let me keep reading here. There was something else I was going to mention in that, but we're going to move on. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. So wait a minute. We think sometimes that our generations are the important thing, but whose generations did Paul deal with here? The Lord's generations. So are you part of the Lord's generations? Were you born of him? Are you guys done with sin and all that mess? Because when you're sitting at the table, you're there to learn from the Lord. You cannot learn from God. Let's put it down into this life. When Dan's teaching, you cannot learn what's being taught by great anointing, by much quickening and provoking. If during the teaching, your mind is consumed with the thoughts of enemies and lies. If you're over here looking out, looking out, looking out. What does Corinthians 6 say? Every sin that is committed is without the body. Do you have a body? We talked about this last week. Do any of you have a body? Well, I hope I get the right answer on this one. You have a body? Now, I'm going to be very plain here. You have a consciousness, an experience, a witness of a body in heaven.
No, I have it in prophecy. Others have had a witness of it.
Okay. So back to the question, do you have a body?
In my consciousness yet, no.
But do you have a body?
Yes, I do.
Whose body is it?
It's yours. Dave.
You're part of our body. How do we? How do Dan and I know that? I'd have to ask Keith. I haven't ever asked you, Keith, if you got a witness on this particular thing. But how do I know that you're part of Dan's body?
Because you've seen it.
I've heard his witness. He's baptized you into his body. I've done the same thing. So you do have a body. You're part of my body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're part of Daniel's body. Does that make sense? You do have a body. Until what? Your own body.
So we're being created.
Yes. Didn't your pastor just preach on this a few months ago? Dan, am I incorrect on that? Didn't you just preach on some of this a few months ago? Why do I remember that? Why do I remember that? Because we awake, man. We're wide awake. We ain't asleep no more. I done told you we're not in Adam. We're in Christ. We're in the feast days. It's as simple as that. We are in Christ. When you're in Christ, you're a living, breathing, walking, talking Son of God, man of God, Christ of God. That's what you are. The Word of God lives in you. It breathes in you. It. How'd Paul say it? In him we move and live and have our being. Living creatures of God. He says, I therefore, this is so awesome, what Paul is going to say right here. What time did I start preaching? Somebody tell me, please. Nobody knows. We got to appoint. Dan, I'm asking you to appoint someone to tell me when I started preaching. I'm kidding. Because I know my brother, he'd just say, dude, look at your watch. Like, look at your phone, and you'll know when you started. But anyway. Okay. So, 33 minutes. I, therefore, Paul said, a prisoner of the Lord. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Or I'm a prisoner for the Lord. What's the difference? What did I preach at conference? The preeminent thought that I said at conference. Say again.
I live for him.
Live for him. But the preeminent thought that I said at conference was in Luke 4 when Jesus comes into the synagogue, opens the book of Isaiah, says, this day is the Spirit of the Lord upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. heal the sick, open up blind eyes, all of these different things, and then set the captives free. The opening of prison doors, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the year of Jubilee. What did I tell you about that captivity, James?
That he came to break it, to make us free from it.
To set us free from it, and what did I tell you? It's been done. We are free. What do I mean by that? The religious mind is the carnal mind. It is Satan's mind. People think the carnal mind is, oh, I'm going to go out and commit whoredoms and I'm going to go drinking and cussing and smoking. Well, some of us are in a lot of trouble. How many cussed this week? Don't raise your hands. I start going down the list. How many took a drink this week? How many smoked on a death stick? A death stick. That's what it is, man. It'll kill you. But then a lot of stuff will kill you. But you see how the religious mind gets so absorbed into us? We spend a lifetime trying to figure out the do's and the don'ts. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has walked your pastor through, myself, Keith included in these things, has walked you through these things over and over and over again. He that is born of God cannot sin. Are you born of God? Has there been a sonship in this church that is born of God? So we're not in sin anymore. We're not in Adam. We're not in good and evil. We still have to deal with Adam. We still have to deal with good and evil. I've said it for years. The Son of God can be clear, but he might still exist in a world full of good and evil, full of unclean spirits and devils. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus come into that terrestrial realm and he said, I'm here to set it all in order, man. I'm going to preach. I'm going to prophesy. You say, it doesn't say prophesy. Preaching is prophesying. That's what it is, man. And there's many levels to it. We can't break those down this morning, but I am telling you this. We're still so carnal. We walk around here going, well, who's the greatest this and who's the greatest that and who's the greatest among us and who do I want to follow? Oh, I love this guy when he preaches. Oh, I love this guy when he teaches. Carnal. That's your carnal mind. Why? Because you're babes. That means you've been born of someone. If you're babes in Christ, someone gave birth to you. Oh, boy. How many of these elders have given birth to you? What do you think? Is that why Rick would walk around calling you sons? Did he give birth to you? Could Dan do the same thing? Oh, yeah. Why? Has he given birth to you? Are there some of you that he baptized into his body and his wife within him gave birth to you? I remember the time Rick told me, he said, Gary, I remember the day my wife and I gave birth to you, bro. I remember the day. You know how mind-blowing it is to hear stuff like that, especially years ago? That blew my mind. I was like, wait, what? Dude, you don't think about that stuff. But we had to be born. That's why in prophecy, you've got some elders of God that are further along in God in those things because they were born of God. Does that make sense? And now they're men. Now they're grown up. They're not babes anymore. They're handling meat. They're not handling milk. That's why do you think we want these ladies coming up in the Holy Ghost? We need you ladies. to put the milk in their mouths. We're waiting to see who can handle meat. Watch this. Prisoner for the Lord. This goes back to intent and will. When Saul, who was a great fervent Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, had an appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, blind for 3 days, Ananias said, I don't think you know what you're doing, God. Jesus said, no. I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And did he? Paul ended up preaching the heck out of the gospel of Jesus Christ, man. So did John. So did Peter. So did all those guys, man. They laid their lives down for it. Every last single one of them. John might have lived a little longer because at the end of his life, he come into the Spirit one day on the Lord's day and receive what we call the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some amazing things. These men were not in bondage. That's my point. They were not in captivity. They were not prisoners of the Lord in the aspect of captivity. They were prisoners for the Lord because they had been in captivity. And when the Lord came on the scene, Keith, they saw the difference. You mean I don't have to live in the bondage and captivity of the carnal mind? I can pull up a chair by invitation to the marriage supper of the Lord, and I can sit there and be taught of the Lord himself? Because that 3.5 years with those disciples, that's exactly what Jesus did. Everything he did, he would teach to the multitudes, Don, in parables. Got to read your Bible, Matthew 13. And then they came to him one day and said, Lord, why do you teach to them in parables? You know what that tells you? How many's ever considered the fact that he was already teaching them mysteries? He was already teaching them revelation. That's where the question came from. You say again, not written. No, you'd have to be there. You'd have to be there in one of those men, if not all of those men, in that occurrence, and have the knowledge that every time the Lord pulled them aside, he was revealing himself. He was showing them, I am the way. He was showing them the mysteries. And even then, after 3+ years, they're in a boat on the sea one day, and he tells them what's about to go down. And they said, now, because of what you said, we believe that you are the Son of God. And he says, now do you believe? I've been with you this whole time, and now you believe? I'm about to check out of this joint, guys. And you're just now starting to believe me? That's apostles. And sometimes we look around here and we point the finger to God and say, God, why haven't you let me in on this stuff? Why haven't you give this to me? Why haven't you told me these secrets? Those are enemies talking to you. Those are accusers talking to you. When you're sitting at that table with the Lord, guess who's not allowed at that table? Unless the Lord brings him there. I have had that happen. I had the Lord bring the devil to the table one time and sit him right there. He couldn't say a word. The Lord was like, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm being kind of funny, but he's like, you shut up. I'm talking to my son. You're going to listen. I'm going to tell him all about you. And the devil had to sit there and bear that whole experience right there. Why? Because that devil's a filthy liar. But yet, we'll believe him sometimes over the words of Jesus, over the words of our pastors, over the words of our eldership. These men have become prisoners of the Lord because they see the eternal glory. They don't go through their ministry and their life suffering with the mindset of, oh my God, woe is me, another day of suffering. No, their feet hit the ground running knowing I might suffer today. Satan may withstand me today. The armies of hell may come against me today. But then the words of Jesus resound in the depthness of their spirit. I will build my church upon a rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will stick closer to you than a brother. Everything they do is based in those things. That's called being a Holy Ghost-filled son of God. Wide awake, ready to face the day. Joy of the Lord is your strength. We got to wrap up. He says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain, listen, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If there's been anything that God's been after over the last year, specifically the last several months, it's not that it's not been preached many times before that, but I mean God's been after it hot and heavy. It has been unity within the body. We misinterpret sometimes the teaching of division. God had to divide Adam to tell the story. That was never intended of God to be a justification for accusation. Because we go, well, you know, Dan teaches a little different than Gary does, and Gary teaches a little different than Keith does, and Brian, holy cow, none of these guys are on the same page. They all teach different. Let me tell you what's happening. We're going to read it. I think I'll let the Word of God speak for itself. He says in verse 4, is it up here? There is many bodies. Well, we've got many pastors, and they're all different. Which one do I follow? Which one do I submit to? I'm not really trying to pastor you, but I do have a pastor in me, so I'm going to take a little liberty. We got three pastors in this church alone, Keith, Dan, myself. But in God's order, God put a chief pastor over the Church of Chicago. Who would that be? Who would that be? Pastor Daniel. He's the chief pastor. Is it okay to say it that way? You say, well then, okay, what's that mean for you and Keith? It means that we love being part of the Chicago church. That's what it means. And if you understand how God works, You get to say, I'm blessed to be part of the Chicago church and get to sit under such a wonderful gift. But then you go to the other side of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then Chicago all of a sudden becomes one church of many that are in you. God's big, man. But we don't have sometimes the way we think. We don't have the division that we perceive sometimes, because Paul made it very clear there is how many bodies? Who would that body be? Ah, so you mean when you go up to the highest of heavens, whose body are you in? You're in Jesus. You can go to places where there are no images, there are no bodies. It's just the permeating thought of God's word, talking word to word. Those are awesome things. But if you're existing, let's say, in Revelation 4, there's a throne set in heaven, 24 elders, four living creatures in the throne, around the throne. That's pretty cool. You got rainbows, you got emerald thrones, you've got lightnings and thunders, you've got seraphim, living creatures, beasts, all kinds of things going on, man, in God's heaven. Is that the heaven you're part of? Is that the heaven you're part of, Don? But you haven't seen that yet specifically, have you? But you have. You know how you have? You've seen it in me. You've seen it in Daniel. Does that make sense? So in other words, you're in me?
Yes.
So if I've stood on the sea of glass and beheld the throne of God, were you there with me?
Yes.
Yes, you were. What if I told you all of you were there with us too? I've seen you. I've seen this church on the sea of glass. You weren't this church. You understand that, right? You were the children of Israel singing the song of Moses. What did the song of Moses say? Isn't it over in Psalms? I think it's listed over in Psalms somewhere. I'd have to go find it. But what's the crux of it? Were they singing about the great deliverance God had done for them? Triumphed over their enemies. That's your Feast of Tabernacles. You're in the new Jerusalem, Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth. What if I told you, and this has been said before, but what if I said, every time we're preaching now, we're bringing that new heaven and new earth to you to bring you to where we are at so we can actually teach you enemy free. Enemy free. You remember the dream I had of you, Megan? It wasn't you, Megan. It wasn't this avatar. I think I upset somebody one time because they said, you know, avatar is not in the Bible. I don't know why Gary keeps using that word. It's not in the Bible. Yeah, neither is this physical body. But I came to you in a dream, and you were in captivity to merchandisers. You were pinned to a post, just a little girl, beautiful little girl, about 8 years old. Knew all this because I knew it from heaven. I knew who you were. I knew where you were at. God knows where you're at all times. He's always known where you're at. See, that's where the accusation comes in. The devil goes, uh-huh, and if God knew where you're at, why did he let you go through all this? Well, you know, breaking commandments comes with consequences. It did for Adam. You think Adam ever said? You think Eve ever said when they were out? Look at this mess we're in. What do you think Adam said?
It's your fault.
Yeah, well, you're the one that got us into it, woman. Oh, that's right. That's how the same accusation you accused me before the Lord. You see how the argument goes? Uh-huh. When do you stop that? When does that argument cease? I'll tell you when. When you bow the knee and you say, you know what, God, I screwed up. I messed up. You made me the high priest. You made me the guardian of that garden. You made me the one responsible. And I blew it. I couldn't even stop it. Does that make sense? That kind of husband doesn't turn around and say, it's your fault, woman. No, that husband says, no, God, I was the man in charge. I messed up. I'll go out with her. We'll suffer it together. Then you lay the life down. Don't even fully understand what you're doing. But that's another message. What was I talking about? The dream. I went to get you from this captivity. There were several other children there, but I wasn't there for them. I was only there for you. Broke the chains. Chains were nothing. Let's just be real. You guys don't understand the power of the spirit realm. These guys that work the spirit realm, when your pastor goes, I remember that dream he had about you, Keith Daniel. Those giants. Are you kidding me? Giants are nothing to a son of God, bro. They're nothing. They're minuscule. They have no power against sons of God. Not sons of God that are in the authority of the Lord. We're not talking the sons of God that went into the daughters of the sons of men and did some really bad no-nos and created those giants. That's not the sons of God I'm talking about, those that profane the name of the Lord. We're talking about sons that have come through all that, understood the iniquity, repented, and now are born in God, working the works of God. They have the signet of Christ. And wherever they go, Rick had a similar dream. They weren't going to let him pass. He said, but I've got the word of the Lord. Boom. They parted and they let him go into the temple. See, the word of God changes everything, guys. That's why these feast days are so important. It's because Jesus is that word. We delivered you, set you free. Where'd we take you? Do you remember? Heaven. Took you into a room full of light, and right before my very eyes, you were changed from a girl to a young woman, full of light, and I set you down, and I said, remain here and be taught. So in me, that thought, that word has been learning. Guess what it taught me? One of the things it taught me, every single thing I needed to know about your parable. Now we know how to minister the gospel. We're just waiting on the ear to hear sometimes, aren't we? Is this too plain for you guys, or can we get it done? Because this is, we're dealing with eternity. I remember what I was going to tell you earlier about that interview Rick and I did. One thing he said in that interview, very deep interview. We covered some very extensive things, but that interview, Rick made a comment that even in the interview, I thought, my God, man. That's profound. And he said it out loud to you, the church, because that's where the interview took place. He said, many, Gary, are in this lifetime. They're in this moment. They're being prepared. He called it a meeting place. You're in a meeting place right now being prepared for the next place in God. How far you get in this time depends on what? Well, a lot of things, right? The timing of God, prophecy of the Lord, all of those things is a given. But what else does it depend upon? You preached it, Keith. Your part. What's your part? Stop messing around with enemies. Sit at the table. Come with ears open. Give attention. I urge you, give attention. If the Lord has prepared a table for you, wouldn't you want to eat His feast? Oh no, it's hard to want the feast of the Lord when Jezebel's got this table full of glorious looking cupcakes. I want some cupcakes, man. But you don't realize they're rotten and full of worms. You ever see those movies? They bite into the food and, ooh, it's full of maggots and worms. Uh-huh. You ever seen Jezebel and then have God take her mask off, take her appearance off? Dan dreamed this one time. Take her flesh right off of her and see what she actually is. Whew, my God, man. Filthy, disgusting, like a Medusa. That's how I saw it. And she just seducing away until God took that persona off of her and I saw what she was and she revolted me. I was like, oh my God, I've been so deceived. I did not know. Funny thing is, it's kind of like that dude in the Matrix sitting at the table eating that big old gigantic steak. He's like, I know the steak ain't real. I know, but ignorance is bliss. And he takes a big old bite and he's like, put me back, put me back, put me back to sleep. And I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to remember nothing. Oh, and by the way, make me rich. Make me an actor. Make me someone famous. You see how it works? We want to go back into the womb and be part of the matrix of the Jezebel spirit. And we don't even know. She's full of lies and curses and damnation. God said in the fourth church, I will cast her and all those that fornicate with her, all that commit adultery with her, I'll cast them into a bed of hell, of death. Kill her children with death. All right. We're done. Let me finish this, though. At least through verse 8, or verse 7. Verse 7. One body. Where was that at here? There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Dan told me a dream he had one time. I'm not going to tell the dream. That's his to tell. But he told me one time that God had showed him that he was called to bring great hope to the folks here, to the people. To put you in a hope. Is that this right here? Could you imagine God being so merciful that he sent a son of God to you to put you in a hope? To prepare you, Amanda, for whatever comes next. That's not to say that you can't right now attain to many things. But there's a reason why some of these men of God are where they're at. Could they have been in another life exactly where you're at right now? Oh. So that's a great hope, isn't it, Don? What if you don't attain to everything that I've attained to in this life? You will. I've seen it. I promise you. You hear me? By the word of the Lord, I promise you. It's going to happen. And you say, but not according to everything I see. Everything I see, they're being naughty, Gary. I want to tell on them. I want to tell on them. I heard them saying some stuff the other day I didn't like. I didn't agree with. Is that it? Is that the extent of our discernment to judge someone according to the flesh? Or did Paul just say right here, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love? How many of you back in the day, many days ago at this point, how many of you remember, I was a little bit of a spoiled situation. That's the old man, long gone now. Somebody had to have mercy on me. Somebody had to have forgiveness. Somebody had to love me in spite of what they saw. In spite of all the damage and the harm and the hurt and all the wickedness, let's just call it what it is. Two specific men of God, starting with Rick and your pastor, were the two men that did that. And I've been very clear, specifically without Rick, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. But you know, the one thing that he did not do, that many did, he did not judge me according to the flesh. He judged me according to prophecy, Don. And that's what he sowed to us. That's what he always sowed to us. And if you could receive it, that's what Jesus has sowed to the Father about you. Are you hearing me? You think in your mind you got all these enemies, but then the Lord is before the throne of his Father, and he is sowing who you actually are. Not who you are in this minuscule realm. He is sowing to his Father. She is my daughter. My blood paid for her. I have seen her in prophecy, Father. You showed it to me. And the devil would love to take her out, but I'm standing as an intercessor. Guess what that accuser of the brethren can no longer do? He will never stand again and argue that conversation because the blood nullifies it. It's a done deal. Lastly here, one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And later that's when he goes into the fivefold ministry. So if Dan has a dream about you, who you truly are. And he was to share that dream with me. Do you know who just became a partaker, Keith, of that dream? I did. One body, one Lord, one faith. I don't see his word as a divided word. I see it as a unified word of prophecy. Does that make sense? And I promise you, that's how the angels interact too. We trust each other. Angels don't walk around. These brothers we're part of, they don't walk around with suspicious spirits. Ooh, are you going to be another Lucifer? I don't know if I can trust you, man. No, that's not how they think. They had their example just like we've had our example. And I'm telling you right now, we are candlesticks in the temples of God. And we're walking about. We're walking about examining the temples. Examining the temples. You know what I'm looking for? Very simple. I want to know, are you sitting at the table that's been prepared of the Lord? Or are you going out and chasing enemies? Because if you want to abstain from sin and truly overcome, you got to stay at the table. You got to stay in the temple. Be partaker of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because when we enter in as a church together, and I'm talking about in consciousness here of this work of God, when we enter into Revelation 21, new heaven, new earth, and you start seeing that pop up and there's more and more conversation about it, where we're working in the thought and consciousness of new heaven and new earth, Steve, conversations are going to greatly change. Because when we sit down and talk together, we're talking from those things. We're talking from those new heavens and those new earths. That's what we're talking about. Any questions before we go? I went too long again. It's just a habitual thing, isn't it? No questions? It's a lot to absorb, isn't it? I know that, not from just discerning of spirits, but from the smell of smoke that comes out of people's ears sometimes. And then about a few days pass, a week passes, and then I start getting phone calls, and they're like, you know, I've been thinking. The smoke cleared, the fire's out. Can I ask a question now? But you know what is going to happen? Over the next weeks and months, we're used to this now. This is just how we roll. We're going to see these things taught, and it may not sound exactly like mentioning feast days and so forth. You would be amazed. Paul will get up here and all of a sudden, and I'm talking in a man, the spirit of Paul, he'll start teaching the exact same thing. It may just look a little different, sound a little different, but I promise you it'll be the same Lord, same faith, same baptism, same body, same everything of Christ. Does that make sense? So who wants to follow Christ? Who wants to follow enemies? All right. You're dismissed.